Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself.
My name is Dr. Drake.
Yeah. Sir Robert Fortune.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Yeah.
Jeez, let's go. Burlington, Vermont, stand up. Vermont, catapult.
Oh my God.
March Madness.
Apparently, Rob is getting paid by...
He don't get them boys eliminated in the first round.
Thirteen seed special.
Hey, it always happens. You're going to get one of those 13 fours, baby. It happens.
Yep. Ben Shungu, player of the year and defensive player of the year in America West Conference, Vermont Catamounts.
Yeah, okay. Okay.
I mean, I'm not
6'2", 24-year-old senior.
How old is he, Rob?
24.
Yeah. Oh, like a postgraduate out there playing at the open gym at the local YMCA.
Oh man.
Well, it's not making fun. He's actually a graduate student, so.
I would hope so at 24.
Oh, goodness gracious. He's still there. Hey, we're ready to talk some sports. Just we were kind of chatting up before we logged in officially, America, and we just got a lot of things to discuss because it's been a whirlwind. It's kind of been fun, if you will, because not only do we have March Madness, we've got, you know, Major League Baseball coming back, and that's kind of a really fast spring training. We got NFL free agency, and it's kind of like a really good time right now to kind of discuss sports too. So again, we are excited to get to all of the topics, and hopefully we'll get a good chance to talk through some things.
Andy,
again, shout out to
NBA going off too.
Yeah, NBA too. Yeah, I mean, like I said, there's so much stuff happening tonight. And then obviously shout out to Curtis and Gary. Curtis, we hope that you are fighting as always. Much prayers go to you. Make sure you're
absolutely
fighting as always, and all the good jazz. Really quickly, want to throw the numbers, as always, the 424-243-9519. Follow us in that. Reach out to us. Follow us on Twitter, which is always at number 12, THMAN Sports. And then last but not least, we're on Facebook, facebook.com/talkingsports with the 12th man or 12th man sports, where we post a lot of updates, mock drafts, all that fun stuff as well. So literally, I don't know if this was a joke, Rob, for the first topic. You just put two words, Tom Brady. So
nothing else to say.
Was it like, you know, Tom Brady? You know, we could take that a couple different ways. But again, I guess he's like,
I guess he's
getting worse than
Thursday night.
Right?
Listen.
So what?
Yeah.
No, hey, that's like I said. Is listen. That's his own. That's on itself. It's just listen.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Go ahead, Rob.
I threw up when that news came out on Sunday night. We thought the NFC South was up for grabs. Now Tampa Bay is clearly the favorite again with Tom Brady coming back. Now, you know, I was a bit surprised because looking at that Rams game in the playoffs, the hits that he took in that game, you could see the grimaces on his face. And I just sensed it right there. He was going to retire after that game. And, you know, because he was taking some mean hits in at his age. You know, how much longer can he take those hits? And, you know, so maybe 2 months after that game, maybe he's healed up and now he feel like he can play again. But at some point, you got to be concerned for his overall health, you know, playing a game at that age and the physical, you know, the physicality of the game. You know, football is a collision sport, as you know. Now, he usually protects his body pretty good. He senses the sacks and he just curls up. You know, he does a pretty good job
shake
of that. But the blind side hit, if he just so happened to miss someone, you know, can his body continue to take that kind of beating, you know, for him? You know, I'm not wishing anything bad on him. I'm not a fan of the Bucks, not really a fan of Tom Brady, but I'm not wishing anything bad on him either. But at some point, when do you start thinking about your overall health and can your body continue to withstand that kind of pressure? Now, overall, the Bucks have had a pretty good offensive line. Allie Marpet retired. They just lost Kappa to the Bengals. They just made a trade for an offensive guard from the Patriots today. But, you know, what's the continuity in the offensive line is going to look like for them as well?
I tell you, and I joke to you, but it's only halfway joking. He's such a Leo, but I can speak to it from experience because it makes me feel so bad. That dude is legitimately 8 days older than me, and he's out here making millions of dollars still playing quarterback. You're going to be 45, and I'm just trying to make sure I can pay my taxes. You know what I'm saying? And it sucks. But that's what he is. Like, that dude is an attention junkie, but he is a highly skilled attention junkie. So I think what we talked about last time is that he looked around and said, well, I still got the same familiar foes. I don't fear Matthew Stafford. I know the Rams have a good team, but they got Matthew Stafford. And Green Bay has Aaron Rodgers, but I've gone to Green Bay and beat him in a championship game on his home turf, right, where his coach didn't even believe enough in him to go for it on fourth down. They kicked the field goal. So I think he looked around and said, man, we can run this back. And you, like you said, you know, they got a little flux on the offensive line, but they just traded for another guard. And I really think he looked around. I promise you, he said, man, the AFC is crazy loaded. I don't have to deal with that AFC. If I can navigate the NFC the way it is right now, those dudes on the other side are going to beat up on each other. What are they going to look like if I make it to the Super Bowl? How many people are they going to be hurt or banged up when we play them? I really think he looks at it and said, man, that AFC is crazy loaded. I can win this NFC one more time. And I just really think he said he didn't want, you know what I'm saying, the quote-unquote farewell tour. But I think he really did. I think he really wanted that. He wanted to get all that love from everybody. And on top of that, he has a great chance, you know, to win the NFC. And like you said, you know, the NFC South was up for grabs, but it is no longer up for grabs. I really think Tampa is going to win the NFC South. And, you know, they might mess around and get that one seed because, if we're being honest, we've seen what Green Bay has done. And you know, then Devontae said he's not playing for the franchise tag. So, you know, what does that mean? Can they resign him long-term? What does that do for Aaron Rodgers and his relationship with Devontae and ownership? And, you know, we like the San Francisco roster, but can Trey Lance get it done? Does the Rams have a Super Bowl hangover? Like, I can see why, but my thing is, why even go through all the I'm retiring, yada, yada, yada? Why not just be like, you know what, let me take a chance, let free agency hit and see what I'm going to do and then make a decision. But he likes to be in the press being talked about every day, and I think that's just who that guy is. Supremely talented, but huge ego.
I don't know who's worse, him or Aaron Rodgers at this juncture. Just both of them are trying to crave attention. You got to tell him she's pretty on this juncture, man.
Well, you got a lot of Brett Favre happening right now, is all I'm going to say.
Yeah, it's just interesting. But I agree with both of you guys. Just it felt weird because I don't know if he officially, you know, filed certain papers for retirement. So I kind of had a feeling, like, man, what's this guy come back and say, I'm gonna do it again? And that's kind of how I kind of had a feeling, too, but as I say, it ain't over until it's over, man. So, again, the only thing I'm upset about is that we don't get a chance to hear Curtis and Gary talk about how much they love Tom Brady, too. But, again, I digress. Yeah, that would have been great to hear the vitriol for that, too. That's enough of that topic, too, you know, obviously.
Hey, Dre, your cousin's still coaching the Hoosiers, huh?
He does. That's right. Yeah, he ain't leaving, man. You might as well just sit there until they, like, roll him out, man, and he's doing a decent job. They're not going to get rid of him, man. So, you know, it's all good. So,
yeah. The black guy's
going to keep that going. He's going to keep going. Just don't get into any scandals. He had that job for whatever he wants to retire and ride off into the sunset.
Sure.
Good for him.
He played at Indiana, too. So, yeah.
He did. Yep, yeah. He's got history, and, you know, it's not much there in Indiana, too. But so he can definitely just keep – recruiting and just do enough to just don't get into any scandals and anything like that.
Not a
like
damn
said,
thing.
Right up into the sunset. Right up into the sunset. They're like, hey, cool. You know, you got this. We'll talk about this too. And there's a lot of free agency tracking stuff going on. And I guess I want to get your thoughts about this too, because we talk about, I know there's a lot of big news that happened with, you know, baseball, and we're kind of like ruling here as far as what's going on too, as far as you got to think about, you know, certain players, and the Patriots are known of like, hey, get rid of players at a certain time. Because if you're the Patriots, if you have a Tom Brady, like, why would you get rid of Tom Brady? But you see that for them, like, hey, it's a money thing. You know, this is obviously the greatest quarterback in history. You got no one to kind of let go for whatever purpose, too. But we'll talk more about that, because there's been some big things that happened in the land, obviously, with Freddie Freeman and some things that happened as well. But let's talk about some NFL free agency tracking news. And I'll let Rob kind of kick this off, because, again, there's been a lot of movement. You would probably say that Jacksonville Jaguars are kind of getting off to – they just must have money to spend, because they're getting some, you know, really good moves, you know, getting, you know, Brandon Sheath, the offensive line. Keep going with that too, Rob. I know they're getting some, you know, got Foye Oluokun from the Falcons, and it seems like they're just keeping them building, if you will, too. So tell us your thoughts about that, the Jaguars and everything.
Yeah, but they're also overpaying for Christian Kirk by paying $84 million. You know, four years.
Because the market.
A wide receiver that's never had 1,000 yards in the league yet. So that was very shocking. Yes, they've gone out. I'm not saying Christian Kirk won't help that football team. I think he will. But, wow, they way overpaid for Christian Kirk. $84 million deal over 4 years. But the Brandon Scherf deal, obviously a really good pick, might even change what they're looking to do with that number one pick, right? Because I was all in on taking offensive tackle. Notice I didn't have a mock draft on the notes for tonight. Okay, let the free agency settle a little bit, and we see what these teams are doing.
Then we'll come back
with another NFL mock. But you know, so that might change what Jacksonville looks to do in this draft. Right? They might go defensive end with that number one pick now. So it would be really interesting. They franchise tag Cam Robinson. They signed Brandon Scherf away from the Redskins. They go out and get Christian Kirk. They cut Miles Jack, the leading tackle on defense. So some really interesting moves, but they have gone out and really telling that community in Jacksonville. I call Jacksonville South Georgia, by the way, just in case y'all didn't know. Jacksonville's number South Georgia. I mean, they ain't Florida.
It ain't.
That's true.
Yeah.
And then they cut Andrew Norwell, too, or Norville. They cut him, too, right, as well, to make room
Norwell.
For Norwell.
I believe
so. Yep.
Yeah.
My Buckeye.
Yeah. But I like the Brandon Scherf deal. I thought that was a really good deal. Not sure. Like I said, I don't really like the Christian Kirk, deal at all. I see Russell Gage going to Tampa Bay. Obviously, Tampa Bay feel like there was a big drop-off from after Antonio Brown going from the number two wide receiver, number three wide receiver. So that was DJ Chalk. Jacksonville also lost him to the Lions. He's coming off an injury. Hassan Reddick is one of the more underrated signings, and the Eagles got a really good deal there. Reddick had 23.5 sacks over the last 2 years. He's still fairly young, 27 years old. And the Ravens stealing away Marcus Williams from the Saints. I think that's a huge deal. 5 years, $70 million. Marcus Williams, one of the more underrated players on that Saints defense, and really one of the key pieces that gave Tom Brady fits, because he's just an extremely good center fielder. He just has so much range. Now, the Saints did counter and came back and signed Marcus May away from the Jets. Marcus May is coming off an injury. The Jets franchised him on last year, so the Saints were able to get him at a lot lower cost. But we'll have to see how May comes back from that injury. Obviously, the Falcons renewing with their kicker. They got
Young
him like back.
Not Young Ho.
One of the better kickers. Say what?
Young Ho.
Young Way.
Yeah,
not
there you
Young
go.
Ho. Jared, JQ always calls him Young
Ho. Young Ho.
Lucinders, the kids, if you will. Go ahead.
That J.D. McKissick leaving the Redskins. I keep saying the Redskins, the Commanders, to go the Bills. Yeah. I got to break that, right? And then what about Mitch Trubisky going to Pittsburgh? Teddy Bridgewater to Miami. And Tyrod Taylor to the Giants. You know, I think I said this on last week's show, the week before last. I said there's going to be one or two or maybe even three backup quarterbacks from last year that's going to be starting. So far, it's only one in Trubisky. But I think Marcus Mariota is going to wind up getting a starting job somewhere. Look out for him to join the Colts, possibly, to be their starting quarterback. The Colts don't have a first-round pick, so it's not like they have a legitimate chance to get one of these quarterbacks. So Marcus Mariota could be another guy of the backup last year, similar to Trubisky. And I think for Pittsburgh's case, they got the number 20 pick. Do they want to trade up for one of these quarterbacks? It's not a sure thing. They're going to take their chances with a guy like Trubisky and obviously protect him and see what happens, right?
Dwayne Haskins ain't ready?
Hell no.
Will he ever be ready?
I'm just messing with you, JK. I'm just messing with you.
Nope, clearly not. He don't have it between the ears. The one you left off that I was going to speak to, and I'm not going to talk about the Bengals, we've discussed it in the chat. I think the Bengals did what they had to do. They may not be done. Because you're talking about Norwell, you're talking about Lael Collins probably being cut loose from Dallas. And there was another tackle that got cut loose today as well that they might be in on. But that J.C. Jackson signing for the Chargers, after getting Khalil Mack, that Chargers defense, with what they brought back on offense, look.
Derwin
like,
James?
You're talking about Derwin James, J.C. Jackson. And Bosa and Mack, and then what they already had on offense, they're bringing all those guys back because they bring Mike Williams back, I think, on a 3-year deal as well. That AFC West is so stupid. And the Chargers, if they would just get their coach to just chill out and punt the ball every now and again and not go for it on fourth down so much, like, they should have made the playoffs this past year. Like, they were right there, and he was just a couple blown calls away from making the playoffs this year. And he let them upgrade. And I love it. Because they looked around and said, we've got a good quarterback on a rookie deal. Let's spend right now while he's on a rookie deal and take a run at it. And I'm not mad at it. You know what I mean? Like, it's fantastic. And when you got to deal with Patrick Mahomes and now Russell Wilson in your division four times a year combined, and Derek Carr in the slouch, but he's getting lost in the shuffle because the AFC West is just loaded up on quarterbacks. Like, what the Chargers are doing is stupid. And I was going to give them a ton of credit. I mean, stupid in a good way. That defense, and those dudes
Super
stay
Bowl
healthy.
Contender. They are a Super Bowl contender. I don't think they're just a contender to win that division. They are a legitimate Super Bowl contender. But shucks, so is the Chiefs and so are the Broncos.
I think
those teams are not just they're going to obviously contend to who wins that division. But I think theirs could all be Super Bowl contenders. Then you see what the Broncos went out and got Randy Gregory today on a 5-year, $7 million deal.
That's crazy.
And
Brian Belonga. By the way. Go ahead.
Yeah, and Broncos got a 1-2 punch at running back. They got some receivers on the perimeter. Now they got a quarterback as well. And it's going to be the Chiefs. It sounds like the Chiefs and the Saints are competing for Jarvis Landry. And so, obviously, you know, we don't want them to go to the Chiefs to give them another weapon. We need them in New Orleans, his hometown. And but, you know, if the Chiefs do wind up getting them, giving themselves another weapon, another possession receiver, that would be scary too. But, yeah, that AFC West is just flat out loaded. Definitely, you know, we said the NFC West was the best division last year, but it's clearly
not anymore.
West going into the season. It is clear.
And I wonder if Jarvis Landry waits.
The Raiders made the playoffs.
Because if Jarvis Landry, if you wait and you see if the Saints mess around and pull off Deshaun Watson, he might say, hey, I can stay home and play with Deshaun Watson. Like, I wonder if Jarvis Landry kind of waits to see how that situation bears out. Because you know he probably wants to play at home, but he don't want to play at home with Trevor Siemian. You know what I mean? Like, he's going to want a legitimate quarterback. So if it comes out to and they get Deshaun Watson and then they pair him with a healthy Michael Thomas and a healthy Jarvis Landry, with Alvin Kamara, good God bless. Sorry, Falcons and Panthers, but that's going to be a whole lot of Saints and Bucks action next year. So this this free agency has been wild. And this is what the NFL loves. We're talking about football, and the game will start in September.
Yeah, but I'm going to talk about this, though. You know, that's a good thing. You know, I'm glad you kind of did that next segue, JQ, into Deshaun Watson, because, you know, at first, you know, I didn't think that we had a shot, the Falcons, if you will. Because I'm thinking, you know, outside looking in, As a Falcon fan, no offense, Rob, I did not want him to see with the Saints, you know, whatever, you know, because, you know, I'm like, man, that's the rival. I'd rather him go to Carolina, but still, you know, he's in the division. So I'm thinking, man.
Isn't that your other rival, too?
Back day.
I'm going to say that rival, too.
I'd rather him go there than go to St. No offense. You know, like I said,
it's
I respect the Drew Brees, but I'd rather him go there than go to the Saints. I'm just saying. They're still a rival. Whenever I see Cam Newton, same thing. I get it. But on paper, honestly, yeah, the Saints have more weapons. So if you're just on Watson, you'd probably think, you know what, that's a better situation. But for some reason, whenever the report came in, I'm like, what the hell? He's actually considering the Falcons, and that kind of made me think about, you know, why are we even here? You know, so you wouldn't even present this if there was not some interest back and forth. So that is very interesting, to say the least.
Just
too, so, you know,
yeah.
Right? And
well, one of the things,
I'm like, what? You know, so go ahead. It's interesting. There's a lot of dominoes. Like
one of the things I heard today, though, is it. Is the Falcons legitimately interested, or are they really trying
they
to
are.
Drive up the price for the
Saints
fans?
They are. Mm-hmm. Like, I've been watching the Twitter, Rob. It's basically saying they're not just driving
the
price. They're legitimately putting together. Mm-hmm. They are putting together a package right now. Literally,
yeah.
An hour ago on Twitter, Adam Schefter said they are putting an elaborate presentation to bring Deshaun Watson to have him consider the Falcons. And I'm like, I thought it was like you. I'm like, man, there's no shot. Why does he even think about this? But it's a little
well,
bit more
he's
serious
from
than
Atlanta,
we,
so that's
than
the scary
think.
Part. He's
right.
actually from Atlanta,
right.
so that's the scary part.
We know
right?
that. He's from Gainesville.
You know,
he said he was a ball boy. He wants to, you know, bring a championship to Atlanta. So you're like, you know, go ahead, Robert.
Mm-hmm.
Let me finish your thought. Go ahead.
And I was going to say, and there's a precedent because you just watched the Eagles trade Carson Wentz. Everybody was like, well, Matt Ryan has this massive cap hit. Carson Wentz had a massive cap hit, and the Eagles said, you know what? We're done with him. Tear the Band-Aid off, takes his cap hit, and they still made the playoffs. So you can do that. The precedent has been set by the Eagles getting rid of Carson Wentz, trading him to the Colts, and taking that massive cap hit because everybody thought the Eagles couldn't trade Carson Wentz because of this cap hit. And that's what people keep telling me about Matt Ryan. I'm like, if you trade him or you cut him, however you shake this out, you can go ahead and rip the Band-Aid off, right? You just
right.
saw it work for Philadelphia last year, right? So it's not like it can't be done. Now, Philadelphia might have had a little bit better defense, but it's not like you can't take that hit. And move on and be like, listen, Deshaun knows what it is. Deshaun's still young. I'm giving you cow piss. We're going to trade this away. But now we become more in play for a free agent destination because I've got a good tight end. I've got a good quarterback. You can always get a running back. You know, like you can build around it. You've got a good cornerback in Terrell. Like you've got bits and pieces there to where you can build around it even if you don't have those first-round picks. So go ahead, Rob. I'm just saying, like, you know, people are saying that to me about Matt Ryan, his cap hit. We've seen it done a year ago. That it can
right.
happen.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, supposedly, I believe he's meeting with Atlanta on tomorrow. So he's already met with
tomorrow.
The Panthers, Saints, and the Browns. So supposedly, every team that Watson is meeting with, but the Texans have technically already agreed to a trade with those teams. It's just a matter of which team Deshaun Watson
wants
to waive that no trade
right.
clause with. So that's
right.
going
right.
to be interesting. You know, obviously, from a franchise perspective, the Saints are probably the healthiest franchise out of all of those teams.
Absolutely.
I don't know if we
That's
have the
fair.
Most weapons at the moment. I mean, obviously, we're supposed to be getting Michael Thomas back this year, but we still need a deep threat, right? We'll see. I think the hometown aspect is always something you got to think as a could be a factor for the Falcons, right? That could be a factor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, playing in Atlanta, playing in his hometown. I mean, I know he lives mm-hmm. in Houston year round, from my understanding, right now. But you know, you never know. If Atlanta's seriously interested, I mean, I don't really know who the favorite is, but you would have to think that
mm-hmm.
They will be up for consideration for sure with it being his hometown.
And I said he reached out to the Falcons too, which is crazy because I don't know how true that was. So if he reached out, like, hey, do you want to – that's why, like I said earlier today –
You know
started,
why.
I was like, man,
you
this
just
is not,
talked
this
about
is,
it.
You
know why. He grew up here,
right.
a ball boy there.
Yeah.
A piece of him that he won't really always admit to does not necessarily want to play for the Saints or the Panthers as division rivals of the team that he grew
Correct.
Up rooting for. So he
Correct.
Was like, hey, do y'all not want to get involved in this? Because I would come there, hey, do you
right.
really want to see me twice
right.
a year? I want to play for you. I don't want to play for them. That small piece, that little boy inside
yeah.
that grew up rooting against
yeah.
those two teams, right? Like, I
yeah.
can see that.
But that's what I'm saying. That's why if you had told me earlier, like, I'm thinking there's no way that we're even in this conversation. So whenever I first saw this tweet, I'm like, what? And then next thing you know, all this hellfire started. And unfortunately, you know how the people here in Atlanta, you get some people that are really just – I mean, I'm over here defending the stuff on the Falcon boards because you got somebody calling him a pervert, talking about, you know, he's been – all these allegations. And you know, we've been told he's been acquitted, right? And you just, and I just get this component again of just like the whole Mike Vick and how like Matt Ryan's the saint, and it's like, you know, what about Ben Roethlisberger? What about Peyton Manning back in the day? What about Robert Kraft? All these people are getting by with stuff, you know. And then we know there's some smoke, there's some fire. We know that he's not a choir boy, but some things are just a little like there's some things.
He didn't get acquitted though, so you gotta be careful with that. He didn't get acquitted. The grand jury declined to take it to thing, but if things come back up, they could always take him to trial. Like, it didn't like he went to trial and he beat it, right? The grand jury said we return a no bill. So that's careful. You got to parse that very carefully because if a year and a half down the line some other evidence comes up, they can revisit that and take it. He can't say, hey, double jeopardy, right? So you still have to keep that in your forefront of what you talk about. But I hear what you're saying, but I want
another concern too,
not to take that. Yeah.
Yeah, another concern is, too, the NFL could still discipline it here. And if so, I mean, how many games are you looking at? I mean, you get ready to throw a farm at a guy. I mean, it might be 4 games, might be 6 games, might be 2 games if the NFL suspends him. But, you know, that's the other thing you got to be worried about here, too. But you're looking at getting a 20 – I think he's 24 or 26 years old. You're looking at getting a franchise quarterback here for the next 10 to 12 years, right, if he's healthy.
Yeah.
So, yeah, are you willing to give that up?
I would think they would give him last year's punishment service. I think the same thing happened with Adrian Peterson when he was on the commissioner's list, and they let him come back after he served that the majority of that year. So I feel like the precedent's been set with Adrian Peterson that they'll say, hey, you missed the whole year. We're not going to tackle on another 8 to 10 games. You missed a year. You know, time served. You've been acquitted. You're not acquitted, but, you know, they declined to press charges on you. But, yeah, if you're Atlanta, you got to jump with both feet in there.
I'm just surprised that we were even in this conversation because, like I said, it was very surprising. Yeah. And then now we got to think of what happens with Matt Ryan. I think Robbie talked about quarterbacks, and that could be a situation where, you know, again, Matt Ryan could go to the Colts. That's kind of a perfect scenario for him. Seattle's obviously out there too. I don't know if they're okay with Drew Lock, you know. And then, you know, like I said, we'll see how that plays out because, of course they're not. I'm just saying that's what's happening. And then you got to look at what's going to happen with Marcus Mariota. But, you know, again, Matt Ryan doesn't have a no-trade clause. And then, you know, I'm kind of defending, you know, some situations too because everyone's like, oh, Matt Ryan's the greatest thing ever. And like, we've already saw what happened with Matt Ryan. He's definitely declining, man. To get a guy in his prime, you know, you might as well go. And like you said, I know it's kind of joking about giving up 3 first-round picks, and hopefully they're kind of spread out. We get some type of opportunity to kind of rebuild because we got to get a wide receiver. We got to get some offensive line, either something in the free agency. But we'll see how the cap stuff happens because we can kind of manipulate that cap. You know, either we're going to go – I'd rather us go, you know, free agency to kind of sort off the line and then, you know, grab a receiver and then, you know, go all defense in the draft or something like that. But, Rob, like you said, man, this definitely shakes up your mock draft for sure because we don't know if this trade, you know, the Chiefs doesn't have a pick. So now if they get that 8th pick, I don't want that to happen. But, you know, we'll see how this kind of, you know, shakes up too as far as what the trade capital is for Deshaun Watson if this actually goes through because, again – earlier this day, if you had told me that we would have had opportunity for Sean Watson, we lost Freddie Freeman, I would have told you you're crazy, man. So it's just crazy how this couple of hours have actually been. And we'll keep it going, too, obviously. I don't want to spend all the time talking about that. I'm sure Rob is neither. But it's just crazy how this is definitely kind of played into this. And I respect the Saints. I'll give Rob a hard time. You know, I always respect the Saints. You got to respect your rivals. But on paper, the Saints do have the better team. Now, if you're Deshaun, that's an easier pick. But now it's like, like you said, JQ, that inside of you, like, I don't really want to play for the Saints, you know, because I've been a Falcon guy. That is kind of coming into play, if you will, too, which is very, very interesting, effectively, too. So, I don't know. We'll see.
But he's talking to him. He's eliminated some teams. So, just keep that in mind, too. So, the teams that he's meeting with are teams that he's deemed to be his finalists.
Correct.
So, you know.
Absolutely.
So, you know, you got to keep that in mind. Now, obviously, the Texans wouldn't even let him talk to the coach. He said, you can forget that. We're not trading you.
In the division.
No.
But he eliminated the Seahawks. You know, obviously, I guess he didn't want to go play all the way in Seattle, I guess. But he eliminated the Philadelphia Eagles. The Eagles wanted to talk to him as well. So there were about three or four other teams that Deshaun Watson eliminated, too.
Nobody wants to go play in fucking Philadelphia. They're crazy. So I get that. And Seattle is a long way away. So,
Big did it, you know. But, yeah, and like I said, you know, he thought about Miami at the time, but that was the debacle, as always. And, you know, it was happening with the ownership, if you will, as you mentioned, too, Rob. But, you know, and again, I'm not talking ish, obviously. Like I said, I respect the Saints. It would have hurt to see him go. Rob, we'll see what happens. That it's crazy that – does that mean that, you know, you're all in on Jameis Winston now at this juncture? If everything goes, we'll see how that plays out. Is Marcus Mariota an option for you guys? I mean, who knows? You know, I'm not going to talk about Cooper Rush, man, but it's just definitely interesting.
No,
to see
we
ain't
getting no Cooper Rush,
sure, you know?
Man.
Come on, man.
Gary with that boost.
Gary,
well,
I
think the Saints here, you know, obviously it's well reported that the Saints are going all in after Deshaun Watson, just like the Panthers,
as
Browns, and the Falcons probably are too.
Absolutely.
Obviously, I think if it doesn't work
Carolina
out, I think
too,
they still
it.
Possibly have Jameis Winston in their back pocket. I was surprised. Actually, I was a little surprised that the Steelers picked Trubisky over Winston. And that's the route they took. And I'm happy that's the route they took.
Hey,
I'm not surprised. But I won't go into detail about all of that on this call. We're gonna keep this on another level. So go ahead.
Are you if you're Sam Darnold, are you like kind of what the hell? I mean, what's going on if you're
if he saw the tape that he put out there, if he's being honest with himself, he can't be. The thing about it that's crazy, not crazy, but another interesting is even if Cleveland doesn't get Deshaun, and God bless the Lord knows I do not want that shit to happen. But if he doesn't go to Cleveland, if you're Baker Mayfield and you saw this happen, you saw them take the private jet to go meet with Deshaun, he's already not signed an extension with them. So his time is probably up in Cleveland. And, I mean, he can win ball games. Don't get me wrong. I despise Baker Mayfield. But does he then come loose where Cleveland was like, this relationship is no longer repairable because we went to go try to get Deshaun. He saw it. Baker posted a message to the city of Cleveland that said, I love y'all and I gave everything for the city and I don't know where my next snap is going to be. So they may have also turned the page in Cleveland even without Deshaun Watson. So now you've got Baker Mayfield potentially being a target on this trade market as well. And where does he end up? So that has added a whole other wrinkle to it that we didn't even think was going to be possible, right, going into it. Now Baker Mayfield might be available. Where does he go?
But JQ, Cleveland hasn't figured out the damn quarterback ever. Like, they finally got some decency of a quarterback.
Baker has shown you glimpses. It hasn't always been necessarily been consistent, but he's shown you glimpses of being able to be a decent quarterback, and he is the number one overall pick from Oklahoma. So if he comes loose, what does that – and Deshaun Watson, say you take one of these three, eight, you know, NFC South teams, the Panthers, the Saints, or the Falcons, they get Deshaun Watson, he gets them. But Baker Mayfield was like, F y'all wanted him over me, I'm out. I can play this year, and then I'm out, and you got the franchise, and I'm going to tell you I'm not going to play for this franchise tag, so we just going to have this soap opera go out because this is not repairable. What does that then do for the QB market if Baker Mayfield becomes available, and do these other two of these three things who don't get Deshaun, do they rise up for him? Does he end up having to stay in Cleveland because nobody else wants him? Like, I'm just saying that wrinkle that I didn't think was going to happen in this offseason to this extent now has happened. And it's a
Jimmy
real thing.
Garoppolo. You got to remember his name is still out there, too.
Jimmy Garoppolo's name
is still out there, too. But you know what?
But Rob.
It clearly shows here, when you look at these four teams that are in contention for Deshaun Watson, right, that these teams, even if they're somewhat happy with their quarterback, this is an opportunity to go get a franchise quarterback, right? And you look at the Falcons and Matt Ryan. He's 36 years old. You know, or you got to look at our next guy, right? Baker Mayfield, middle-of-the-pack quarterback, right? It's an opportunity to go after a franchise quarterback. Carolina, Sam Darnold should be holding the clipboard, right? You know, so this is an opportunity to go after a franchise quarterback. Jameis Winston showed you some glimpses last year in those seven games, but are you completely sold on him as a franchise quarterback? No. So you're going to go kick the tires with Deshaun Watson. So that's what you're seeing here. Out of these teams, that, you know, you. I mean, obviously, the Colts tried, the Seahawks tried, And even the Eagles tried. So what did that tell you about the Eagles? Are they completely sold on Jalen Hurts, right? You know, his completion percentage over 30 yards last year is one of the worst in the league. He's got the short passing game down, but he can't complete anything past 30 yards, right? So the Eagles, that shows you with them trying to get in the ball game with Deshaun Watson, that they're not completely sold on Jalen Hurts either.
Yeah, hey, Baker, Seattle might be the move. And I'm not saying it's going to produce anything, but of all the quarterbacks you just talked about, Matt Ryan's old, Sam Darnold sucks, Jameis Winston is coming off a very serious injury, and he's only been in the middle of the road as well. So those four, if you probably ask GM and personnel, the one they would probably go after would be a Baker Mayfield, if you like to talk about a Seattle and some of these other places. It just was amazing to me that I just didn't see that coming to a head so fast with him with Cleveland. I figured they would work through the season, try to figure it out, and then maybe address this next offseason. But with them flying and going to meet with Deshaun Watson, you're right. Everybody takes Deshaun Watson for Baker Mayfield every day, twice on Sunday. But if you're the number one overall pick going into your contract here, you're sitting there saying, I don't trust y'all, y'all don't trust me, then why are we still doing this together? You know what I mean? So it just seems like the chairs keep moving around. I don't know if Baker's a good fit in Indianapolis. I just don't think he plays again in Cleveland this year, and I didn't see that coming this offseason quite so fast.
Yep.
And the Texans like still have, when Texans Watson have a quarterback available. They got Davis Mills,
and you're
too.
Not totally happy with your quarterback. You got to give it a shot.
Yeah. No, agreed. I totally agree. Once you play that card, and everybody knows you played that card for somebody that's still young and was the number one overall pick still in his rookie contract, he's going to feel some kind of way about it, as with any number one overall pick feel some kind of way about it. So I'm not just going to put that on Baker. Everyone that gets drafted number one, if their team president and GM gets on the private jet to go meet with another quarterback, that quarterback, the one that's left standing, is going to feel some kind of way. And Baker's going to feel some kind of way, and I get it. I don't mean to derail it. I just find it interesting that this offseason, I didn't think we were going to talk about where Baker Mayfield goes. I thought we would talk about it next offseason, but I think we're going to have to talk about it in the next couple of weeks heading into this draft about what happens.
Yeah. Just to let you know, obviously the Twitter's going nuts. They said that the number one destination for rumor is the Colts for Matt Ryan. And the Falcons have actually made some free agent discussions with a free agent wide receiver, Marquise Valdez-Scantling, by the way. So that's interesting that we're talking to him as well. So we'll see. That's probably interesting if that's with Deshaun, because that's something that's a big-time situation too. What? He did too. But he's solid, man. So that's something that, you know, man. That's
no, I'm not saying that. And it depends on the package you have to give up for Deshaun. Do you have to give up your first and your second this year? Because at eight – in the second round, you might still be able to get a really good wide receiver if you can hold on to that second-round pick this year.
And Watson, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It's great theater.
Woo! Hey, good stuff, man. Thank you for putting up with me because, again, earlier today, I would have never expected this to even go down. Let's talk a little bit quickly about Brandon.
I think we'll probably know something on the show and Watson by tomorrow. I think there's a possibility tomorrow, Thursday, something gets done. I don't think it's going
to
be long.
I think by the weekend.
It's supposed to happen in the week, but or by the week. That's by the week, we should know something. But, it's just crazy, man, because he may say, let's knock this out, man. But that'll be the – I'm telling you, bro, we need some excitement, damn it, because, Matt Ryan is exciting as white bread, man, just not exciting at all, man. So let's get over that, man. So let's just
understand. It depends what you put on that white bread, man. Come on.
Okay, let's go. Let's go.
Let's talk about Randy Gregory he backs out of the Dallas deal, and this is interesting because we were thinking last week that we knew that Amari Cooper was going to be obviously not going to be retained by Dallas, and he gets re-signed to Cleveland, if you will, and then you thought that the Cowboys had opportunity to re-sign Randy Gregory. He does sign, but the next thing he turns around 4 minutes later and backside deal gets the exact same deal with the Broncos. What say you about this? Is this like a slap in the face? Because if you're in Dallas, it's like, you thought Dallas
Russell
was
Wilson
the best
got
nation,
on that phone.
What the hell?
That's not what happened.
No, come back, So it's crazy. Go ahead, man.
That's not what happened. If you read the story, the fact is that he had a deal with Dallas, and Dallas tried to change some of the language in the contract because he's been a little bit of a F up, and they caught themselves trying to protect themselves after they came to agreement. He said, "Oh yeah, watch this." and he went to Denver. So,
yep.
A piece of that is on Dallas. That's on Dallas. They had a deal in place. They tried to get slick with the language and tried to slide a pass, and he said, no, sir, and went to Denver. So, good on him. He got the same contract without that offset language. So, that's on Jerry Jones.
Yep. And what that basically told you is that Denver believed in him. Hey, Denver believed that they were past this situation from the past, right? And so, I mean, to a player, you're gonna buy into that. And then I'm sure Russell Wilson, obviously they didn't report that. That's not reported. I'm sure Russell Wilson got on that phone. Hey, come on, win a championship with me, buddy, in Denver, or something like that, right? But obviously it's all about belief, right? You know, it even goes back to you can go back to when Drew Brees was being courted by the Dolphins and the Saints. Nick Saban, questioned his shoulder, and Sean Payton believed in him, right? So, if Denver believed that he was past that particular situation, you can see why the player bought into that situation, right? So, kudos to him, as like JQ mentioned, going with Denver for believing in him.
Yeah, but that could be funny because they got a whole bunch of dispensaries out there in Denver, so we're going to find out. He's really over it. Go find out.
Yep. It is legal.
I don't know
too.
If you want to talk about. We talked about obviously you touched on it, Rob, about the Eagles getting Hassan Reddick. That's a really good just a steal in that signing, if you will. Andrew Whitworth, the famous going back to the days of the Bengals and the Rams, he retires today officially. LSU, that's right. And then Miles Jack getting released by the Jaguars, he touched based on that. And I think that's, if I'm the Falcons, I would kind of like to look at that too. But and what about, Rob, do you think that, the Honey Badger will make a return back to you guys, or yes, no, or what do you think about that if you...
Well, I think with the Saints signing Marcus May today from the Jets, I know there was a lot of reports that if the Saints didn't keep Marcus Williams, they was going to lean toward Tyrann Mathieu. But obviously, Marcus May is a younger player. Tyrann Mathieu is going to be 30 years old. Marcus May is only about 25, 26 years old. Obviously, May is coming off an injury, but prior to that, he was a stellar ball player. So I guess that will probably nix the Mathieu coming to the Saints, right? Unless they get rid of old man Jenkins. But old man Jenkins still playing pretty well, though. And unless they – get rid of old man bringing Mathieu, but it doesn't seem like that's where they're heading. Jenkins still under contract, still playing at a fairly high level. And so it looks like Matthew's probably going to go somewhere else with Marcus Mason.
And I think when I watch Kansas City play, especially on defense, he's living a little bit on reputation right now. I think he's lost a little bit of a step. If you watch him, he gets beat a little bit more than you see him seeing get beat. And maybe he needs to go somewhere where he can be maximized and maybe be put in rotation or specialized packages. Like, he sounds perfect for Bill Belichick, to be quite honest, where I'm not asking you to play 60 snaps. I'm asking you to do one thing and do one thing great, and I put you in this particular package and bring you in there. But that playing the majority of the snaps that we used to see him play, I think that's a thing of the past. I think that's why you're seeing the market that he has right now. So he's going to be in that secondary, third kind of wave of free agency where he's going to maybe have to sell up for a little less money, probably a lot less money than he may have thought. But he might end up going to a better situation where people use him situationally, and I just say, hey, go play all the majority of the snaps. I think that's just – and it happens to the best of them. You hit a threshold at a point in your career so where you just can't play that many snaps, but you can play this many in this particular situation, he can thrive at it. And I just think that's where he's going to end up. Where he's going to find his best result.
Yeah, and what his strength is being, believe it or not, he's as small as he is, his strength is in the box. He's not a true center fielder safety. I mean, Marcus Williams, man, that guy has incredible range. And you see, Baltimore obviously believed the same thing in paying him that 5-year, $70 million deal, right? I mean, incredible range, a true center fielder. It was hard to get anything deep past him. That's how good he was and how good he is. But Tyrann Mathieu is not that kind of safety. He's not a legitimate center fielder. He probably needs to be more of a strong safety, but he's small. He's better in the box. He causes a little bit of havoc in the box. The one good thing about Mathieu is when he's around the football, he somehow forces turnovers. but he's not going to be that true center fielder. He'll get beat playing free safety all day long.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that Marcus Williams signing is the Jamar Chase signing, because he just tore Baltimore a new one this year. And they said, you know what, we can't keep letting this shit happen. Let's go get Marcus Williams and get somebody to put over top of Jamar Chase. It's true. He went completely crazy on Baltimore this year. And I think if he's saying, you look at, you know, what Pittsburgh has also at the wide receiver position is also pretty good as well. So I think they said, you know what, we got to get better there. And they threw the bag at him and he left. But yeah, I'm with you on Matthew. He's undersized. He's tough as nails. But, you know, you get to 30, the wrong side of 30, and it happens, man. You've got to find the best situation for you moving forward. It is what it is. It's no knock on him. Dude, it's been a phenomenal safety, college and NFL up to this point.
I do want to table a couple of things. I do want to table the NBA talk, because not that I do want to, Rob, say the NFL Rookie of the Year in the mock draft, because there's been a lot of free agency activity with Major League Baseball. Do want to give a shout-out to Carl Anthony Towns going for 60, LeBron and Durant, you know, going 50 points. I got to give a shout-out to Trae Young, too.
Oh, yeah, 41 and a half time tonight.
Yeah, and give a shout out to Trey. He had 46 and 47, you know, so a lot of love for him, too, just kind of, you know, balling out, too. So, you know, just crazy good performances. Not sure if it's just defense or just, you know, these guys just, you know, just better, faster, stronger. Just they're just putting up some points.
Great
player. That's just how it's happening, too. I do want to talk about some interesting trades. You know, obviously in Major League Baseball, we've had some situations happen. Obviously, Josh Donaldson, if you will, we're going to show you some love, Rob, for the Yankees. How does that help out from the Yankee standpoint, too? Because obviously he's been still, you know, a threat of being a great hitter, obviously. What's your thoughts about the Yankees acquiring Josh Donaldson, if you will?
Yeah, you know, I'm a little mixed on that. He's 36 years old. I mean, he's, you know, obviously still a fairly good hitter. I think he batted like 247. I mean, he's not, he's 36 years old. I think he's about 4 or 5 years removed from his MVP season. And do I think he would help him? Yes, but I wonder how much he'll be able to help him in the field at third base. I saw since the show has started, I see the Yankees have re-signed Anthony Rizzo to a 2-year deal, too, as well.
Rizzo, come on, bro.
So, you know, I think from a bat perspective, I think he'll be able to help us. But I'm a little worried about his age, right? 36 years old. You know, he's on a high end of the 30s. And if he does help him, for how much longer is he going to be able to help us, right? You got to start getting some really good young talent in that organization right now, whether that's through your own farm system or acquiring it from some other teams. It seems to me my Yankees are getting a lot of older guys right now. I have mixed feelings about it. You know, I'm wondering if there was someone younger out there we could have gotten.
Well, the thing about it is, I get that, but in the American world now it's universal DH. But you look at that lineup, and yes, they got older, but I think they spell some of those dudes where they mix them in through third base, first base, DH, where you're not asking him to play 150 games at third base. You know what I mean? Like, you're going to sprinkle him in at third. You might try to sprinkle him in right field to try to hide him a little bit, sprinkle him in to DH. But that lineup, like, the protection he's going to get that lineup, who do you pitch around? You know what I mean? Like, that's good luck. Not to get hit that lineup. If those guys are just hitting it the way they can hit, you don't have any, you know, balls or strikes to waste, because if you walk that dude, now you put runners on and you still got Stanton and Judge and those other guys hitting it, you know, before him and after him. So I hear what you're saying, but when you have the DH and the ability to sprinkle multiple guys in and let him play, I would think they would probably try to give him some reps at first base and then let him Rizzo or whatever, you know, DH that night, just so you keep guys fresh. The interesting thing is how long, you know, because him and Cole have had for the heads. And I saw they interviewed Cole and said, you know, we had a call and we talked it out. But him and Garrett Cole didn't get along. And now they're in the same clubhouse.
Yeah.
So that dynamic of it is, I'm a little interested to see to make sure they can keep that, you know, was it just because they were going against each other? Now they're in the clubhouse. Can they work that out? Does that seep in? Then you get the battle of people that like Donaldson versus people that like Cole. Because Cole's a bit of a prick, too, right? So that's what worries me more for the Yankees. If I was a Yankees fan, is do their dynamic, if they can't fix it, divide it where you have, you know, I'm a McNabb guy and I'm a T.O. guy. I'm a Donaldson guy. I'm a Garrett Cole guy. Like, I don't, Like, that could happen because they've had friction,
that's
right?
True.
So you always have to worry about that a little bit. But I think in terms of production, with the way they can protect each other in the lineup and the way you can move people around through the DH and other spots, I think they can protect it where they don't worry him out. So I think a lot of times, you're right, he's 36. If you ask him to play in the field every day, you know, 6 out of 7 days out of the week, he wears down, like any 36-year-old would have on third base, right? So you got to find a way to kind of keep him fresh. So, but, I mean, you know, Gary Sanchez was awful this past year and a half for the Yankees. So I get it.
And he hadn't been able to stay healthy either.
And unable to stay healthy.
Yep.
Right.
So we'll see. I'm ready for
Yankees
spring training baseball right here in Tampa. I'm ready to go to some games.
Yeah, you ain't got to go far. It's right next to Raymond James Stadium. So I'm more interested to see what happens in the clubhouse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good stuff. The next one that we got to talk is crazy because, you know, on the Braves side, I'm getting a lot of love here. You know, obviously the Braves making a big move to get Matt Olson from the Oakland Athletics. And, you know, we gave up, you know, obviously some prospects, if you will. Christian Pache wasn't really, you know, he had an opportunity last year, didn't do what he needed to do. You know, and you get like a guy that's definitely younger than, Shea Lagers, the catcher. I liked Ryan Cusick. I really liked him. Joey Estes, another pitcher, but we'll see. You know, you kind of give him something that's unsure, something that's sure. And Matt Olson, you know, he's a great player.
He
rakes. You know, 39 home runs.
He rakes.
Yeah.
I know people are upset because
of
Freddie Freeman,
but
Matt Olson rakes. Like, he's not bad. He's really good, and you got him in a decent deal.
Oh, we know that. I'm not trying to undersell him. I'm just like, it was like the – whenever everyone kind of like a lot of some people I've been talking to, like they're, I'm going to Freddie Freeman. I'm like, well, you're getting a guy that's younger, considerably younger, and then you locked him up to an 8-year deal. And because of getting Olson, now you can get Rosario. You can possibly sign Soler. So it's kind of like you can have one player, you can have like a couple of players too. So
Acuna,
you know, you want to have
back.
That situation too. Yeah. I mean, Acuna's back in there, and you just kind of see a kind of an interesting piece. So, it's almost like a guy that's, like, younger and just as good, but it's kind of the analogy I said earlier with, you know, losing Tom Brady. You know, it's like they had the greatest quarterback, and they're fine. You know, they're going to be okay. You know, I mean, obviously, for Freddie, obviously you'd want him to come back as far as the history, but, you know, he's a California guy, as we talked about earlier. So it's not like they weren't talking to him about this deal, and then Alex Anthopoulos, he had to make a move and say, hey, you know, hey, let's do this. Let's lock him in. You got a guy that's younger. He's ready to come over, and like you said, he rakes. He was a fan of Ken Griffey Jr., who I'm a fan of. You know, that's where he modeled his swing after and whatnot. And
he's a Georgia native, I believe, too. He just bought a house in Atlanta,
yeah.
I read.
Yeah.
And he grew up a Braves fan. So you're getting somebody that is, like you talked about with Watson, he's somebody that grew up as a Braves fan and had just bought a house here this past offseason, not knowing that the Braves were going to trade for him. So he's super stoked to be here. I'm with you. It's that Patriots thing. I'd rather go a year early than a year too late. And I had that happen with me with Joey Votto. He was great, and they signed that big deal because he was 40 years old, and you started to see him slow down and regress as he hit age 37, 38, 39 coming up, right? So, you know, I would have loved, even though I'm not a Braves fan, I would have loved to see Freddie be a Brave forever. Don't get me wrong. But I think Freddie also looked at it and said, you know what, I got my ring now. And I'm on the backside of this. I want to get out
get
my money.
Money.
Because it feels like they took that deal to him. He was like, nope, I can get more down in the open market. Like said, Alex said, well, this is where we are. I hate to lose you, but in terms of nostalgia, I also got a plan for the future. And that piece of it sort of sucks. It's the bad part about sports. Like, hell, if Joe Montana can leave San Francisco and have to go play for Kansas City, right? Like, when he was going through that run, there's no chance I thought he would leave San Francisco and end up in Kansas City, right? So it's those kind of analogies that you look at. It's like I hate it from a Braves standpoint. You want to see Freddie retire as a Brave. He goes into the Hall of Fame. I think Freddie Freeman is a Hall of Famer. I think he goes into the Hall of Fame as a Brave. But at some point, you got to turn the page for your franchise. And I'm not saying that Freddie doesn't have good years left, but you don't want to lock him into a 5-6 year deal, and it's over when he's 40, 41 years old, and it's diminished return. So it's just one of those tough places to be where you just won the championship and he's at this age and now you got to re-sign him and he wants the money, but you got to plan for the future. So,
yeah.
Tough spot for the Braves.
This is his last contract. Get your contract.
Last contract.
You know, yeah. Yeah, we're not upset at you. I mean, we're nothing but the best for you. You did exactly what you needed to do, man. You were here for the bad. You got us the World Series. Go out on top, and then you'll always be remembered and loved. But get your money. No, we're not mad at that, I think. I think it takes a lot of heart as a GM to make those moves. Those are the tough calls. You know, like, man, I gotta get rid of this guy that's been a legend, you know, for the Braves, you know. But like you said, there's a way to go out peacefully and not even let him pay. Go get your money, sir. So I don't know if you had anything to say to that, Rob. I know you're, you know, probably can hear about less about the Braves side too, but that's what's happening on this end, if you will, man.
No, you guys covered it well.
Yeah, it's all the talk out here in Atlanta. People are struggling about losing Freddie Freeman.
it's a real deal.
Even though right now the players, if you're a fan of the team, and a lot of times you don't see the big picture. That is, you know, I totally agree. I think in the long term, it's a better deal for the Braves. Clearly, I said, you get so attached to, you know, certain players, and you know you don't want to move on. But in the long term, you know, in the long term, it's easily a better deal for the Braves.
I agree.
Let's talk briefly. I don't know if we're going to spend a little bit time in the OT. We got 5 minutes left, and then I don't know if we want to talk about Virginia Tech upsetting Duke in the ACC final, because I know that brings a lot of joy to everyone's heart over here. And then Rob, we can kind of do the fantasy shout-outs and then just kind of do some small sweepers for the NCAA tournament, because we are in the midst of March Madness, if you will, too. So I know we're going to hit that. So. Literally, you got 4 minutes. You want to hit that, and then we'll get ready for the OT, if you will, sir. You got some options, if you will.
All right. If we want to talk about sleepers, hey, I've been talking about it. The Vermont Catamounts, man. Ben Chun Gu.
Sorry,
13 seed. I don't have the guts to pick them. I'm still picking Arkansas in my bracket, but they are a really good team. And I think they're going to give Arkansas a handful in that matchup. I don't have the guts to outright pick them in that matchup, but I do believe that they're a sleeper ball club. And I might be a little bit of a junkie. I'm probably one of the few people that actually watched them play a few times this year. So I mean,
you are a junkie.
The only one who watched them play this year outside of Vermont.
Hey, Ben Chun Gu, man, I'm telling you, Ben Chun Gu, only brother, high school, state player
no
of the year
in
Vermont.
That's straight up. I've been to Vermont, and they looked at me like, "What are you doing up here?"
Well, you know what's interesting?
Who
I'm
are
just
you?
Passing through.
You know what's interesting?
Syrup up there.
I went to Vermont for the first time last year in June, and I've seen so many Black Lives Matter signs in Vermont, more than I've seen in Atlanta. More than I've seen in New Orleans, more than I've seen here in Florida, and the black population is only about 3-5%. But everywhere you turn, the Black Lives Matter.
Yeah, they all in.
I'm serious. I'm not even exaggerating.
Bernie Sanders.
No, that's true.
Yeah. Everywhere you go. But getting back to the sleepers, you talked about Virginia Tech. You know, I know I'm happy that they beat Duke, but they also beat my Tar Heels the night before too. So I mean. But they are a real sleeper. Virginia Tech has won like 15 out of the last 18 games. And if they were to win that game, they would have made this tournament. But right now, they are an extremely hot ball club. They are in the number 11 seed. I'm actually picking them to beat Texas. So I know I don't have the guts to pick Vermont.
Yes.
But I'm picking Virginia Tech to beat Texas. Davidson, and this is not just Steph Curry Davidson, but they play in the 7th seed, Michigan State. They really shoot the basketball extremely well. They take care of the ball. They're a good passing team. They play in Michigan State. I'm on a fence on whether or not I'm going to pick the upset here. I think right now I'm Michigan State. But Davidson, South Dakota State, the Jackrabbits. I know they're popular in football. We got some NFL prospects. But the Jackrabbits, man, I don't have the guts to pick them either. But they're a sleeper team. I think they're like 30-2 or something like that. But they are a sleeper team as well. My last sleeper team is UAB. No, I don't have the guts to pick them either to beat Houston, but they are a sleeper team as well. They got good size. They got good shooting up front. They got a 7-footer in the middle. So those are 5 teams that I think have an opportunity to have an upset. But Virginia Tech is the only one I'm actually at the moment picking. I'm leaning for Davidson, though. I might pick Davidson, but we'll see. But definitely
hey, I'll tell you what. Chattanooga might upset Illinois, and I hate that from Big Ten, but they might upset Illinois. Illinois is too hot and cold. you talked about it. I was going to say that Michigan State, I look at it, Duke to me is right in that bottom part of that that West. And real quiet, like Tennessee, I know they're 3 seed, it's not really an upset, but you look at Ohio State team struggling, Villanova,
look out for Tennessee.
It's up and down as well. Tennessee might mess around and make the Elite Eight or Final Four. So, I mean, that's just a couple that I saw that when I looked at bracket, like, damn, they got a really good draw.
Tennessee has the size and they have the guard play. Kennedy Chandler is one of the best point guards in the country. My first round mock draft that I posted on our Talking Sports page, I posted that to give our viewers a little sneak peek of what some players to watch in the tournament. Kennedy Chandler, point guard from Tennessee. Right now I got him as a late first round pick. But Tennessee's got good balance and they play defense. Rick Barnes, man, he's got that team playing physical. They're rebounding the basketball, playing really good defense. I have them right now as a Sweet 16 team, but I have a strong possible for an Elite 18 too. But they are definitely they're a sleeper team to make the Final Four. There's no doubt about it. They have all the ingredients to make it to the Final Four. Really do. Duke has about 4 first round picks on this team, but they're just not playing any defense.
Yeah.
They have the potential to outscore any team in the country, but almost any team in the country has the potential of outscoring them just because of the lack of defensive presence. So that's the only reason why I'm having a hard time picking Duke. Now, at one point during the season, I thought Duke was the hottest team in the country until North Carolina beat that ass, you know, and then they got turned around and lost to Virginia Tech again in the tournament. But their defense, I mean, they gave up 94 points to North Carolina in their season finale. They gave up a bunch of boatload of points to Virginia Tech. Even though they beat Miami in the ACC tournament, they gave up a lot of points. To me, their defense is really what's going to hurt them in this tournament. But I'm picking Gonzaga to finally get that second championship. Chet Holmgren, man, that freshman, even though he's a 7-foot string bean, I got him as the number one pick in the draft right now. That guy's an off-the-ball shot blocker. He can shoot the basketball. He's got a little sky hook in the post, and they still got their veteran presence in Drew Timmy. I'm picking him to finally get over the hump and win the national championship this year. That's my pick.
I'm going to hold on to my side for this weekend, but I think the problem that Duke is having, I think it's weighing on those young guys. You saw it coming down the stretch. His last home game, they couldn't knock off North Carolina. Trying to get him another ACC championship, they couldn't knock off Virginia Tech. Going into every game saying this potentially is his last game coaching, I think it's messing with them psychology. You know, messing with their mind.
Yep.
So that's why I say that they're in trouble in terms of that, because I really feel like that's, you know, it was all well and good when there was 30-something games left, right? But now you keep getting closer to the end, regular season, then the last ACC tournament, now it's the last NCAA tournament. They mess around and get into that Davis and Michigan State game in that second round, and it gets close. Do they get tight and look at it and say, damn, are we going to be the team to go out here and we don't make it and we can't do it for Coach K? I think that's really messing with their mind because, you know, those are young dudes, right? They don't want to be the team to let him down, but sometimes when that happens, you start to press. So that's why I have a hard time right now with what to do with Duke, because I feel like I see that happening with them right now. They're pressing, trying to send him out a winner, and like you said, Rob, not staying with the fundamentals.
Yeah, that's a good point. But I tell you what, though, as much as Stephen A. Smith enjoys seeing the Cowboys losing the playoff and he's laughing at their team, when I saw Shane Battier and Jay Williams and Elton Brand and Christian Laettner and all those dudes in the fans at that last game and watch them lose and get the ass kicked that night, man, I could have queued up that TV and just laughed at all of them individually, like the way Stephen A. Smith did with the Cowboys. That was pure joy seeing that, man. That was incredible, man.
Yeah,
all of them, even the assistant coaches, Steve Wojciechowski, all them dudes.
Trajan Langdon.
Tommy Amaka. Trajan Langdon is the executive for the Pelicans. I'm laughing at him, too.
You gonna laugh at Zion Williamson, Rob, too? You laughing at him, too? If he was there, too? You laughing at him, too, as well?
That night, I was laughing at Zion, too. I got Zion jersey on right now. I was laughing at him.
You got some problems, man. You got some problems, Rob. Everyone's gonna
I love it.
That Duke hate is real, bro.
actually real.
But see, the sad thing is, they're a hardworking squad, man. Come on, man. We should, you know, come on, man. It's not anything, man. Come on, man.
Yeah, Jake, you with me on this one. Appreciate it.
I hate Christian Lake, dude. That was hilarious. No, good.
That
stuff.
Was a great 30 for 30.
Probably one of the greatest 30 for 30s is good stuff here in that. We don't have teams like that anymore. Just teams that you just kind of rebuild and go for 4 years and just kind of dominate. It's just kind of a sad situation too. But that's – we sound like we're old, man. Back in the day, they didn't have squads for 4 years. But did you want to talk about some fantasy? You sat out, Rob, and then we can go ahead and wrap this up.
Oh,
too,
yeah.
Because, yeah, it's been a good night for sure.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I got passionate about that, seeing all them Duke players losing it. I'm sure I missed a lot
down.
Of names, but yeah, all them dudes. Jay Billis, him too.
He said
Tom. Not Jay Billis.
He said Steve Borsinger, everyone.
Steve
got greater will than. But even though Jeff Mills, he couldn't talk enough about Tyler Hansbrough, right? He loves him, Tyler Hansbrough, though, right? This guy's got more will than Michael Jordan.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I never forget he made that dumb comment.
It's going to will his team to win. Like, man, come on, man. Get the heck out of here, man. Who the hell is Tyler Hansbrough, man? That dude didn't do jack,
like
man.
Brett Favre. He's got such a strong arm. He's got the confidence to throw it in a triple cover.
That's John Madden. John Madden
come on,
Brett Favre.
That's
though.
A dumb mistake.
Do the fancy shout out, fool. I said, do the fancy shout out, fool. So we go to bed.
He's prolonging
right.
The show over here.
All right, so,
oh, my goodness.
We're having a little fun tonight. Apologize. But ladies and gentlemen,
oh,
fantasy shout out to the week. The biggest winner of the week is Chester, New Orleans 15, passed the rock, beat the Panthers here 8-1. And JQ's team is still in first place. Ohio players on a bye this week with 120-59-1 record. Congratulations, gentlemen, as we are in the quarterfinal round of the playoffs right now. Andre and I are going head to head this week in the playoffs. In the 3-6 matchup in the playoffs here. And I think as of right now, I had you after last night, but it seems like after tonight you took the lead from me. So my team got to step it up in the next 5 days.
Oh, yeah, because I knew that was happening. I looked on Monday, I said, oh, that's going to be fun this week. I'm glad I got no parts of that.
We're in the opposite bracket of you, too.
Yep, that's why I was trying so hard. I saw what was happening. I said, I don't want no parts of that foolishness. Let them have it that. Let me stay on this side. If we meet in the finals, then it is what it is. But I want to see that in the first second round.
Some bullshit, man. She asked me, man. I'm just saying.
Okay.
I've been paying attention to that for at least 3 weeks. I've been watching it.
You're not going to have to buy past the rock in a number 5 spot. Playing against the number 4 team with a losing record. I mean, he got a sweet spot there in that number 5 spot. Yeah. And so you know what? You know, we'll see what happens though. And then the team that just missed the playoffs, Hart High Five, they had a winning record. So in the division that I was in, all three of us had winning records. Yeah, so it's a shame that his team didn't make the playoffs when he had a winning record and he got a team in there that's got an awful record and won the division.
Yeah. Terrible. We can never let those three teams be in the same division again.
That's why, Rob,
you
got to expand it like the freaking in Major League Baseball. Ooh, 12 teams, 14 teams.
Yeah,
the Major League Baseball playoffs this year is going to be real intriguing having those two teams in each conference on a bye. So it's going to be really interesting to see that. Those teams could be on the bye for like a week or a week and a half, depending on how long the series go on. And, we haven't seen that before in baseball. And, JQ made a good point that, you know, it's probably going to help the pitching of those teams, you know, have fresh arms and things of that nature. So maybe there still could be an advantage to it from that standpoint. Yeah.
But the hitter's going to be cold, so.
Yep.
Well, I ain't got to worry about it because my team ain't going to be nowhere near that shit because we just sold the whole team. So y'all have fun this baseball season. I just listen to y'all talk about it.
Hey, Jakey, we can still buy the Reds, man, if you want us to kind of go in, man. We got this, man. How about that, man? Let's go ahead and buy them.
So we can put our coins together.
Yeah, we put our coins together.
We needed some Apple Jolly Ranchers and some Flamin' Hot Cheetos because they're just giving people away right now, so it ain't going to take a whole lot. Some dill pickles. Like, we ain't going to need a whole lot to get them, man. Hey, that shit is on cheap.
Flamin' Hot Cheetos? Why
are you going to
be Flamin' Hot Cheetos?
Don't get me started, bro. I'm so mad with the ranch right now.
He said some Flamin' Hot Cheetos and some Jolly Ranchers. That's what they're doing.
The cold-ass West.
JQ.
Oh, man.
JQ, man, I met a dude last week on Friday. He's from Columbus, Ohio. Obviously, he's a big Buckeye fan, right? But guess who his favorite NFL team is?
He going to say the Steelers.
Yeah. Man, how you from Ohio when you're a Steelers fan?
What'd he say?
He's a man.
They don't want to deal with the Bengals. Because they don't want to deal with the Bengals and the Browns losing, so it's easy just to go a little east, to go to Western Pennsylvania. I knew where I was headed. Oh, yeah, it's a lot of them. It's one you think. They get tired of dealing with the Bengals and the Browns. It's like, you know what? I'm just going to go there. Sorry, ass Ohioans.
F you.
Sorry,
guys.
I
would have been. That's right. I keep... Howard, F you, Desmond. Yes, I know.
Yeah.
I didn't put gas in the car. Fuck that. He's driving. I didn't put gas in the car.
Nope.
<through.
laughs> I ain't giving up nothing on my mind.
That's real. All right, gentlemen. Great, great show tonight. Appreciate you. Shout out Curtis, Gary. We'll see you guys next week. We'll see what happens this week, man.
Praying for you, Gary. Hanging in there, buddy.
Deshaun Watson going to the – yeah, praying for Curtis, yeah. We'll see what happens to Sean Watson, gentlemen. I'm going to be on fire if that actually happens, bro. I don't know. I'm not going to be able to contain myself if that actually goes down. Shit. That's going to be nuts, man.
He's going to have a number four jersey next week.
Man, I will. There's no joke. I said, if this happens, I'm getting that jersey. You don't.
You got that number four next week?
Man. Man. If this comes out, Color Rush, all of them, man, I'm all man. Because they got rid of Julio. Who am I going for? Who am I going for? What? You like that? What?
You going to get the Color Rush right out the gate? Okay.
I got to figure out which one they got, man. If it goes down, man, that's going to be nuts. Nuts, man. I can't
believe it's going to be
a
big that's going to be a frenzy.
There going to be some white folks going to be mad. Damn it, we don't want you. Sexual predator.
Oh, okay. We get out the call. Like, about food.
I didn't mean to go there. I'm just saying. That's what I'm fighting this. All right, sorry, America. We'll talk soon. My bad. We'll talk. My bad.
Good night, gentlemen.
Good night.